and welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Grace Hour broadcast is coming to you live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you so much for joining us, friends, on this Wednesday afternoon as we continue to develop our theme this week on the Grace Hour, which is that the battles belong to the Lord. And we want to thank you, first of all, for joining us for the broadcast today and remind you that we'll be taking your phone calls a little later following today's devotional message. And after we share these thoughts on our theme this week, we hope that you will join us live in the broadcast. And to do so, quite simple, get to a phone, dial one of the following numbers, and you'll be able to participate. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And you can dial that toll-free number anywhere in North America and the local number here in the greater Baltimore area. Again, that's where the Grace Hour broadcast comes to you live at the home here of the Greater Grace World Outreach. That local number for you, friends, is 410-483-3700. And we hope to hear from many of you. And, of course, as the news across the ocean continues today, again, our prayers continue to go out to the amazing country of the Ukraine, and it seems as though almost the whole world is joining us. Prayers for those precious people. And Pastor Jason Moore is joining us in the studio today, and he'll be sharing the devotional message, and we'll be able to share some new and updated information about what's happening in Ukraine and how all of us can help to make a difference over there. And some of you know already that we have several churches in that country, and our understanding is they are still there, and they are ministering, and they're making an impact with that ministry. So please keep them, as well as each and every one in that country, in your prayers, friends. These are critical hours of human history. We know that. And we're not looking to anyone in particular to deliver, except, of course, God himself, our great deliverer, our great Savior. So please continue to keep the people of Ukraine in your prayers. We're praying and hoping and believing for a resolution to this conflict as quickly as possible. Well, as we mentioned, Pastor Jason Moore, who himself was a missionary in the Ukraine for a number of years, he's joining us today to bring forth today's devotional message.
Thanks, Pastor Love. Look forward to giving you the update. We've been in touch with our dear people on the ground in the Ukraine, in Poland, Hungary, Romania, and there's much to say there. And really, we see the hand of God moving in such an incredible way. But I want to open scriptures first before we get there. And I'd like us to, I love this thought about the battle being the Lord's. And we see that in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And we really see these words. And he said, "Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at the great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God." We see this in Exodus 14:14, specific instructions. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring you this day. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Now, why is there a need for the battle? I mean, war is ugly, it's destructive. Satan's plan is to kill, rob, and destroy, to kill a generation of men and women, and to wreak havoc. So why is it that the battle is necessary? Well, in the believer's life, we go from professing to possessing. It's one thing to talk, but when the bullets are flying, or when the heat is on, or when the bad report comes, or when there's difficulty, and we really see what we have and what we need. I mean, think about David in Psalm chapter 23. He did not write Psalm 23 sitting in his lazy boy drinking an iced tea. He was running from his son. His kingdom was being separated, and he was under great, tremendous stress. But the Lord was shepherding him in the battle. So the battle's necessary in 1 Timothy 1:18 because we learn how to wage a good warfare. So if the battle is the Lord's, and that's an important point, if the battle is mine or yours in this sense where we are trying to defeat a supernatural foe, then we will lose every time. But really, the battle is an opportunity to introduce the supernatural, which defeats the supernatural. So in the battle, as we look through the Old Testament and the verses we just read, there was supernatural or specific instructions, a strategy, a tactic that God gave so that victory would be imminent. So stand firm and see the deliverance. Now, what happens when the pressure's on or when difficulty happens, we try to preserve ourselves, we try to fix the problem, and or we try to defeat the enemy on our own terms. But to wage a good warfare in 1 Timothy 1:18, we get a hold of supernatural resources, prayer, speaking the truth to ourselves, and also to have offensive promises. We get quiet to hear the word of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not look in 1 Kings 19. Do not look at all the armies. Open the eyes of my servant and see the angels of fire that are all around the valley surrounding the enemy. Oh, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. God uses battles so that what we profess or what we think we know becomes a reality. What we think we know becomes personal. What we think we know becomes powerful. What we think we know, we discover a new side of who God is. We see Him in action. The battle proves the faithfulness of God. The battle proves the metal, the steel of Joseph in Psalm 103. The battle proves how weak we really are, but how strong God really is. I just love this today. You know, I think it's so important to consider that Satan wants to take back territory. He's an aggressor. He's an oppressor. He's an evil. He is evil, and evil is patient, and it's calculated. It's intentional. But guess what? The battle's the Lord's. Everything that's going on in your life must go through God before it comes to you. So Satan wants to take back territory, so we get on our knees. Like Proverbs 31, the conies hide in the rocks. A feeble folk, a feeble animal, but they hide in something greater than themselves. And guess what? The enemy cannot get to them. Well, what does it mean today? We certainly wouldn't go to war with a squirt gun, right? There's a preparation needed. There's a training needed. There's an understanding needed that the battle is God's and not our own. So that doesn't mean we're passive or have apathy, but it means that we're approaching it, thinking about it, and actively listening to God so that we don't get in the way or complicate the matter, but we need God to fight and defeat experientially our foe. So the devil is defeated. The problem is we arm the devil. We arm the devil with our conversation. We arm the devil with our venting that don't first go through the Holy Spirit and in prayer. We arm the devil even with our own counts. So, and it's amazing how when we talk with people in warfare, how much Satan wants to make about the person, it's all about them. And this is, we should never take warfare personally. It's never about you and I. It's about the work of God in us and the work of God that's going out of us. And Satan hates the work of God in your life. So don't take warfare personally. And it's never flesh and blood in Ephesians 6, 12 through 14. It's never flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers that are trying to shut down the work of God in your life and to take back territory. Well, Proverbs 21:31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory rests in the Lord. Isn't that good? Battle scars. Follow the man or woman, for that matter, that has the scars. I certainly wouldn't want to go into battle with someone that has no experience, would you? But people pull information from all kinds of places, and there's no battle scars in that information. There's no battle readiness. It's all just feel good that's not been really proven in the Bible, but it's some cultural nuance that has no battle scars. Well, the Bible is full of battle scars. Jesus had scars on his hands and his feet, and he will lead you into victory. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You know, I want to say something in a little bit about the Ukraine, but every conversation I've had, we've talked to our pastors and our precious believers, their family, to many of us, and their confession is incredible. They're in bunkers preaching the gospel and praying with people, loving people. They're on the streets in southern Ukraine, in the parks, ministering the gospel carefully. In Kiev, they're under siege, but they're meeting online and doing Bible school, Zoom Bible school, with people all over the Ukraine. Our churches in Cherkasy, which is in the eastern part, they're in bunkers being bombed consistently, and they need our prayers. In Lviv, the western part of the country, is the humanitarian hub of what's going on, and we're going to share some specific things in a moment. But there's no vengeance in these Ukrainians' conversation. They know that the battle is the Lord. Miraculously, we have seen and heard rockets disappearing in the air, rockets or missiles landing in the streets and not going off. One specific thing in Kiev, and it's been all over social media about that missile going through that high rise. No one was in that high rise. And the lady's apartment that the missile broke through, she was not there. She was getting food. And God is miraculously covering the people. Why? Because in Deuteronomy 7:7, they're not a great people, but they're people that are loved by God. And when the battle is the Lord's, the victory will be the Lord as well. So just to encourage us today, there's specific instructions in the battle. God, and I believe that Europe, Eastern Europe, and the Ukraine, we're going to see an incredible revival from this. This is obviously not the way we would have chosen. Obviously, war is awful. It's destructive. But the gospel will, the precious seed, I remember when the Iron Curtain fell and we went into the communist world, and just the receptivity was so incredible, and to see how this will bring receptivity, but also, as we're going to share in a few minutes, there is great rescue, there is great relief, and great rebuilding that needs to happen. So just as we close today, maybe you're in a battle. The devil's defeated. Maybe you're in a place where you're asking God, why? Why is it that I need the battle? Well, Romans 5:2-5 tells us that it's working in inner character, inner strength, inner steel. God's giving you something now so that you would be able to feed and minister to others in the future. He's moving us from just talking into action. I love that. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me what you're going to do. Be active in James 1:22-25. Let your feet do the talking. Let your hands do the talking. And the battle in 144:1 of Psalms, he teaches our fingers to war and our hands to fight. Like, it's a work of God. But if it's our battle, it's going to be difficult. If it's our battle, if it's our way, then it's going to be an absolute prolonged disaster. But if the battle's the Lord's, our quietness will reveal the devil's defeat. our prayer life will be the absolute authority that we have over the waves and over the threatenings. It's amazing. We have a supernatural provision for the supernatural offense. And guess what? Greater is he that is in you and I than he that is in the world. The devil will lose every time as we use our spiritual weaponry. Follow the man with the scars. I love this. Jesus will lead you into victory in 2 Corinthians 2:14. And this is what I love what Jehoshaphat was saying. Like, listen, like, the battle is raging, but don't let the battle rage in you. Stop and be still and listen. And talking with these Ukrainians, I just was so inspired. They're just saying, you know, we know our God is faithful. We know in death or in life that our God is faithful. We know if we wake up tomorrow in heaven or if we wake up tomorrow in our house, we know where we'll ultimately be. And that's in the hands of God. It's in the hands of God. So the devil, the devil really is like a toothless lion. He makes a lot of noise, but he is rendered. He is disarmed in Colossians chapter 1 because of the work of the cross. Because of the work of the cross. So I'm just encouraged today with you. The battle is the Lord. See, the Lord is thinking eternally about situations and circumstances. We're, as we near the rapture, we're going to see more of this. Tragically, we're going to see more of crisis and heartache. But guess what? God is saying, I want to reach people. I love people. I care about people. And nations rise and they fall. But people and responding to the gospel so they will be in heaven one day. That's what it's all about. Everything we're doing, it's for the gospel's sake. And we're gonna see great testimonies in the battle. After the battle, there'll be the mountaintop and then another valley. There'll be a peace and then a battle. And maybe battles will be consecutive, but our king, our captain, will be faithful every single time. And God will work in a steel in your heart that we will see his victory supernaturally each time. We will see his faithfulness every time. It might not be on our timetable, might not be our way, but that will be our cadence, that will be our battle cry. God is faithful, and if we perish, we perish, 4:14 of Esther. But Esther was focused on her captain, and God gave her victory in that incredible battle in Esther 4:14. Well, amen and amen.
Hey, amen indeed. Now you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, as our broadcast continues right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Grace World Outreach. And some great thoughts today on this great theme, the battles belong to the Lord. I'm not so sure that you could hear a more comforting thought from God than the one that the children of Israel heard under the leadership of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:17, when they heard these words, "You shall not need to fight in this battle." Our fight is not with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, spiritual forces, and our fight, so to speak, will be in the bunkers of prayer and faith and trusting God. And again, fighting off those thoughts, those fears, those anxieties and worries about what might be, what could be. Our battle is to keep our hearts and minds stayed on Him, and the Lord will fight for us. Well, friends, the phone lines are now open. Here's a great opportunity for you to join us and to share your thoughts with us, if that's possible. Get to your phones and dial these numbers, 800-338-7060, toll-free in all of North America, and right here in the greater Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. And a number of you are weighing in on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. Bob has written to us, says, love this message. Praise God. The battle is not ours. Pastor Emil says, amen. Carol Massengill says, hallelujah. June Lowell, great to hear from you, June. She said, this is so good for believers everywhere and for all of us in this country and all the precious folks in Ukraine as well. And Jean-Luc Magret says, dear Pastor Jason, what you're sharing is so precious as heartbroken. Thank you very much for your heart. Let's pray for Ukrainians as well as Russians. Absolutely. And I think it bears reiterating, Pastor Jason, that, you know, when you hear that Russia has invaded Ukraine, I think you should really change that. You should almost say Vladimir Putin has invaded Ukraine. I know he has and is in control of the Russian army, but it does seem, based upon some reports that are leaking out of the Ukraine, that a lot of these soldiers don't like what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Don't want to be there. They're conflicted, and rightly so, because there's such a relationship that they have always had with the Ukrainian people, and some of them even have relatives in Ukraine.
Yes.
So, again, this is one madman's war. It's all about power, and it's all about, you know, wealth, and it's all about, you know, maybe trying to restore what was once the glory days of the Soviet Union, maybe trying to get that back. But I'm praying, I know, with everyone that God is going to reverse this. God's going to turn it around. And as you said, we look forward to hearing the testimonies someday of those who are in the thick of the fight right now.
Yeah, I just want to say we love the Russian people. We've been in that part of the world. I personally have been in that part of that world as early as 87. My brother lived in and started the work in the Ukraine in 93. We joined him in 94 and have lived there till 02. And then all of us, there's a group, Pastor Gary Grenwald, there's a beautiful contingency here that have been working with the Ukraine for close to 30 years. So this is incredibly heartbreaking. We haven't slept, I'm sure many of you. We are tirelessly in contact. My brother has been incredible with connections. There's much to share, but I want to just say this, is that in the battle, you really see what people are made of. And I'm really inspired by the Ukrainian people, because they're not running from their pulpit. They're not running from their people. They are ministering. They are selfless. They're sacrificial, but they're also very prayerful. You know, and just to say, there's three things. There's rescue, settling those that are displaced and in danger, which is a real issue right now, people having trouble getting out of Kyiv. Many have gotten out, but many are under siege there. Relief, we are ministering humanitarian aid, as well as there's a great need for food, medicine, and also humanitarian aid. It's winter over there, and like, it's not the kind of winter we have here. It is freezing over there. So blankets, sleeping bags, and coats, and these kind of things, which everything is going to the soldiers now. But the civilians, they have some resources, but they're quickly running out. And then rebuilding, again, just at the aftermath, what this area is going to look like. But I got to say, we're on a call with Dr. Chung, my brother, Pastor Christian Moore, Pastor Gary, myself, and we are networking with our amazing churches in Poland. I tell you, Poland, I do a standing ovation for Poland. Pastor Maciek, Pastor Szopa, there in Krakow and Warsaw and Gdańsk and Rzeszów and Wrocław. These are amazing churches that are engaged. They're at the borders. They're ministering to the hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians that are pouring into Europe. Pastor Chaba in Hungary, Pastor Mikhail, Pastor Julian Timofti, Vika. These are, it's incredible. I don't want to be long-winded here, but I think this is valuable. Like, it's amazing. Right now, there's been such a great outpouring of monies and care all over the United States, all over the world, but there's people in Brasov, Romania, that are that are doing that four-hour trek to the border, and they're filling trucks that the military in the Ukraine are delivering to the people on the front lines and in the West. So there's some real excellent connections, but please pray for logistics, for just the devil not to disrupt. But real aid is getting to these people, like in our church in the West, in the city of Lviv. Tirelessly, people are coming off the streets. We have a three-floor building in Lviv, and people are sleeping everywhere. And they're hearing the gospel, they're getting food, they're getting care. And because think about it, the borders in the West are literally, it takes almost 3 days to get through the border. And any of you that have crossed borders, that is grueling. That is grueling. But God is in the details, Pastor Love. God is, we're seeing the hand of God, mostly women and children, because men from the ages of 18 to 60, they cannot leave. They must stay and fight. And believe me, the Ukrainian is very motivated. I mean, they are very motivated. And, wow, anyway, I'm doing a lot of talking here, but God is in control in the battle.
Yes. Amen.
It's a lot of information there, but I want to talk more about that if I can. Go ahead.
No, it's great. My only opportunity to go to the Ukraine was during a summer harvest several years ago with our young people, and we were in Warsaw, and then in Krakow, and then from there we went into Lviv, and we spent, several days there, and it was really the highlight of our trip, and getting to meet these precious believers there, and just, you know, making our way through the city of Lviv, a beautiful city, wonderful people, and you could sense even back then, and this is long before they were facing what they're facing at the present hour, you could tell they were a resilient people. I think you could almost say this was a people that you don't want to trifle with them.
Yeah.
They're people of conviction. They have real heart, and you could tell even back then they loved their country, and you could tell that they would stand and protect it at all costs. And now we're seeing that happen, and we're seeing tremendous examples of courage from the leadership, all the way down to elderly women taking up weapons and learning how to use and just basically saying, I will give my life for my country. That's how much freedom and liberty means to them.
And that's an excellent point. And maybe I could say this, and Poland has been through unspeakable disaster. Lviv, I mean, the Ukraine, if we look at the history, even in the 30s, induced famines. I mean, this country has suffered. They know the price of freedom. They are not going to go quietly into the night. But what I love is the churches, the Orthodox, the Catholic, everyone is praying. You see people in snowbanks praying. You see people in bunkers praying. I mean, it is a supernatural response because, very religious city in Lviv, Kiev, very business-oriented, Odessa, very party-centered, very trade-centered. Everyone has a different nuance. Kharkiv, we've been in Kharkiv. Kharkiv is getting bombed, but you know what's amazing? Donetsk emptied out, but not Kharkiv. And there is an amazing group of believers in Kharkiv. And I don't know, my heart is broken knowing that God protect these dear ones, protect them, confuse the Russians, the Belarusians, the Chechens, 10,000 Chechen soldiers, confuse them. And our battle is not against, and I'm all for implementation and protection and fighting for your nation. Yes, 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 but in the right motivation. Like, first of all, the battle is the Lord's, and then the Lord tells you how to fight your battle. And ultimately, he gives the victory.
Amen. So. Amen.
Or not. Maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
But he gets glorified.
That's right. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 800-338-7060 and the local number here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Please fill up those lines, friends. We just want to hear what your thoughts are about the current events that are happening around the globe. And, of course, your responses to the fact that the battles indeed do belong to God. Let's go to our caller first here from Middle River. George is joining us live in the Grace Hour. George, go ahead. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Pastor.